This is church participation day. I need you to focus, lock in. Here we go. I'm going to ask you to do some responses, and here's why I'm going to do this. If you don't respond, I'm going to think you're not understanding what I'm saying, so I'm going to talk longer to explain it more thoroughly. So the more responses you get, the quicker we go to lunch. Everybody cool with this? That's what I'm talking about. There you go. All right, here you go. So we can do an amen response, like if you agree with something, maybe that really challenges amen to our Uganda friends. If you've been to Uganda with our mission trip before, like there's a response in agreement. It goes like this. I need everybody to practice. You guys killing it, man. This is great. We're going to go a little easier to start with, so we'll build into that, all right? Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Raise your hand, a little more discreet because you can blend it. Raise your hand if you honestly believe in the power of prayer. Okay, we got some woos. Okay, we didn't even talk about that one. That's all right, way to improvise. No. Let's keep it up. Raise your hand if you believe you could pray with more faith. Look, your hands went up half as high. You're like, Pastor, why you got to put me on the spot like that? I'm going to sit next to my mama. Like, okay, I get it. Raise your hand if you feel like you could pray more consistently than you pray right now. Okay, all right. Some of y'all lying, but that's cool. Let's go. There's this intriguing, we'll call it analysis paralysis, where followers of Jesus, most of us know, like we have enough understanding to know that we have full access to go directly to the God who created the universe on a personal level, and at the same time in tension with maybe the most universal, fundamentally like agreed upon statement of faith that most Christians have is, I could pray more, or I could pray better. Or I could do a better job in my prayer life, knowing I have full access to do it, but then just for some reason not doing it. So last summer we did a short series, a teaching series on this idea of radical prayers. We looked in some powerful ways to pray that Scripture teaches us to pray, asking God to do some radical things in our lives. And one of those ways was to pray the prayers that Jesus prayed, to be more convicted or more compassionate about helping other people. Rather than treating God like he's the voice behind the drive-up window order little box, we ought to pray as though God has given us a specific assignment and the people that he's placed around us are part of that as we deliver the mission and the truth that God has given us to do. So praying prayers like, God, make me compassionate like Christ. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Moving me from the sidelines to being motivated and inspired to get up and to help those in need, to get up and to help those who are falling away from the Lord. Maybe one of the harder prayers is with a prayer like David prayed to reflect upon ourselves. David prayed a prayer, he says, God, search my heart and know and reveal to me where I'm out of rhythm or I'm out of line with what God's doing for us or in us. It's a huge issue that we have to deal with. The third one we talked about last year was this concept of we in America, we live in the safest nation at the safest time, probably in the safest neighborhood in our part of the world, and yet somehow the most popular prayer of a North American Christian is, keep me safe, protect me, watch over me. Those aren't bad prayers by any means, but think about the precautions we're already taking. We lock our doors. We probably have a fence or a gated in part of our community. We have the safest car, seatbelts, and airbags. We have incredible access to good health care, like all these positive things. And still one of our most dominant prayers is, God, keep me safe. God, protect me. God, watch over me. And if you read through the scriptures, the first century of the church, they rarely prayed for safety. But they always pray things like, God, give us great boldness. Put us in harm's way to do the very thing you put us on this planet to do. Give us boldness to share the gospel with everyone we come eyeball to eyeball with. Give us boldness to speak the truth with love and grace. You can pray for safety, but it's a radical prayer to say, God, give us boldness. Now, I say that to give a little additional plug. If you weren't here the last couple of weeks, we've introduced a new app. And the new app, you can tap the tag right there in front of you. You can access the app on your phone. And part of the things that we have on there is archives of other messages. So if you scroll down just a little bit on the homepage, you can go back and you can rewatch. Maybe you didn't get to see them last year. You can watch all three of the series, all three of the sermons in the series on Radical Prayers, Volume 1. Wait a minute, Pastor. We didn't call it Volume 1 last year. That's right, because today starts Volume 2. It's going to be a good one. Now, picking up where we left off last year with God, give us great boldness, I'm going to encourage you to pray a prayer today that when I first say it, you're going to be like, that ain't that bold. But as we talk about it, I think you might realize there's a little more boldness involved to it. The prayer today, round 2, volume 2, week 1, God, speak to me. God, speak to me. It sounds like such a simple prayer. Certainly a kind of prayer, like as a follower of Jesus, we would think, like, I should pray that all the time. Like, why wouldn't I want God to speak to me? And to be honest, like, we're pretty comfortable with that statement, with that prayer, as long as we can put our own brackets around it, as long as we can put our own confines around it. God, I want you to speak to me, but specifically about this scenario going on in my life. Maybe you're looking at a different job. You're looking to move on a different career path. God, speak to me about which job I should take or should I today. You graduates who are looking to the future, you're praying specific prayers. God, show me what is the next for the season of my life, or what school should I go to? Which career should I approach? Maybe for you, you're praying, God, in this exact scenario, for this thing and this thing only, God, speak to me. Because a wide open invitation is intimidating. A wide open invitation, God, tell me what's on your mind towards me. I've read enough of the Bible to know that's a scary prayer. I mean, what if he says something like Jesus said in Luke chapter 12 and verse 33, sell all your possessions, give to those in need, and follow after me. What if he says things like Luke 9:23, if you want to be my follower, anybody wants to be my follower, give up your own way, take up your cross daily, die to self, and then follow after me. What if we phrase like what it does in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 29 when Jesus says, if your eye, even your good one, causes you to lust, gouge it out. For it's better for a part of you to be thrown away than the whole body of you to be thrown into hell. So this whole like blanket approach, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm ready for that business of God speak to me. Because what if he says something that I'm not ready to hear? What if he asks for something that I'm not ready to give? What if he calls me to let go of something that I'm not ready to let go of? What if he asks me to do something that I'm not prepared or I think I'm qualified to do? Okay, I get your reservations. I'll play the Uno reverse card on you. What if you don't? What if you don't pray that prayer? What if you sit on the sideline and you miss out on the destiny that God's placed before you? But what if on the other side of the radical prayer that you pray is God's biggest move so far in your life? What if on the other side of God saying, speak to me, talk to me, is exactly what you need to hear to begin the healing of the past, to begin to find freedom of where you've been, to discover purpose of why you're here, to live out from under the weight of the hurts, the habits, and the hangups that you've been carrying? So my prayer for these today and the next 2 weeks is, whatever the hurdle's been, whatever the stumbling block has been, whatever has stopped you from fully praying these bold prayers begins to become the testimony of how your faith grew. When you prayed and God spoke and you responded. When you prayed and you said, you know what? No longer am I praying it safe, but I'm praying God speak to me. There's this story, this situation that pops up in 1 Samuel chapter 3, if you want to turn way back in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 3. So I'll give you some context while we're flipping back there. Samuel was one of the last judges in Israel. He's actually the last judge in Israel, and he actually had this unique opportunity to kind of stand in the gap. For part of his life, Samuel and other prophets or judges would act as the mediator between God and his people. That was the establishment God made from the beginning of his covenant. I want to be your leader. Follow after me. I will always lead you to what's best for you. And in this theocratic system of leadership, the Israelites would get jealous every time they look over their shoulder to their neighbors. Those people have a king. We want a king. Those people have a king. We want a king. And God would say, I want to be your king. I'm what's best for you. And they would say, okay, that's great. We know it, but we want a king. Everybody else has a king. So Samuel sits in this gap of the first part of his life, theocratic system of leadership, following the instruction of the Lord, and then transitioning into monarchical system of government or of leadership where they would have a king. And in this part of his life, in the second part of his life, was a lot of like interrupting between helping the Israelites to identify the next king, and then that king would fail. Identify the next king, and then that king would fail. And Samuel has one of the most complex responsibilities as a judge, as you read through all 15 of the judges, because he played judge and he played prophet and he played priest and he played sinking everybody through to what this transition would be. But where we pick up in the story is actually before any of that. We pick up in the story when Samuel is around 10 or 11 years old. He's a young guy and he's working as the servant for the priest at the time, Eli. He's working in the temple with Eli. So Eli, if you know the story, he's very similar to the cycles of judges in the book of Judges. Knows what to do, knows what is right, decides not to do it anyway. So Eli fits that same mold. He's not doing right in the eyes of the Lord. He's living in sin. He's living approving of sin. He's living to satisfy his own flesh. He's not leading as the way God has required a priest to lead. He's not even leading the way that he tells people and teaches people they should lead their own family. So we'll pick up the story, 1 Samuel chapter 3, starting in verse 2. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, so we can infer he's probably a little bit more experienced in age, he'd gone to bed, and the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle. So he's sleeping in the church. I mean, you talk about growing up in church. He's sleeping in the church. And the Lord called. He's sleeping in the church, sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God, and suddenly the Lord called out, Samuel. That's what God sounds like in my mind. Samuel. Yes, Samuel replied. What is it? And he got up and he ran to Eli. He said, here I am. Did you call me?
I didn't call you, Eli replied.
Sorry, I get carried away sometimes. Go back to bed. And so he did. Have you ever been in the situations in your life where like you wake up in the middle of the night because you hear a voice? Anybody else has ever sleep right through that like my wife does? Not this guy. No, no, no. I hear something. We're going to go investigate. I'm going to pick up some equipment to go investigate. Like, we are going to go find out where that sound is coming from. And then to be told, just go back to bed. Are you crazy? You must be crazy. Okay, we're picking up. We're in the story now. We're picking up. Verse 6. Then the Lord called out again, Samuel. Again, Samuel got up, went to Eli, said, here I am. Did you call me? I didn't call you, my son. Eli said, go back to bed. Okay, put yourself deeper in the story. Parents, you know where this is at. You're sound asleep. And your four-year-old walks in the middle of the night, doesn't say a word, but they get right here, and you can hear their breath, and you can smell it, and they say, are you awake? Oh, man. Okay, you've been there. You understand. You're part of the story. You get it. We'll continue on. Verse 7. Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he never had a message from the Lord before. This is so rich. Samuel was growing up in the church, not just growing up in the church, living in the church, sleeping in the church, doing all the church things, but he doesn't know the Lord because he hasn't heard from the Lord. Some of us, we may be doing all the church things, we may be doing all the Christian things, but we've never heard from the Lord because we've never stopped to listen. He's never stopped to see. This is not a statement of shame. This is not a statement of, haha, I guess you're not as good as me. This is just a simple question of self-reflection. If God was speaking to you right now, would you know it? If God was speaking to you right now, would you be aware that this is the Lord speaking to me? If God was speaking to you, would you know it? Would you know who this is? Would you know his voice? Would you know what he's saying? Honestly, it's one of the reasons we believe so much in this idea of personal discipleship, either having a one-on-one relationship with someone where they're a little bit farther down the road than you, just like Eli, not perfect by any means, but a little farther down the road in their faith journey where maybe they can weigh in with some insight of when you're trying to understand, am I hearing from God? Maybe you're in a 3-2-1 relationship where you're doing some mentoringship of your peers and you're talking through and you're bouncing off ideas of, I think I'm hearing God say this, but I don't know. Can you help me get some insight? This is an incredible power of relational growth. So we continue on. Verse 8. So the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. He said, here I am. Did you call me? Then Eli realized it was the Lord calling the boy. What do we know here? That Eli recognized the voice of the Lord. So he said to Samuel, now go lie down again, and if someone calls again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to bed. Listen, maybe I forgot how easy it was to go to sleep when I was 10 years old, but 47-year-old Luke is not going to hear three voices at three different times in the night and then just sleep peacefully the rest of the evening. Right? This is traumatizing for me. Like, this is making me like, I don't want to sleep. All right, so maybe, okay, we understand. Three times, Eli gives this sound instruction, play this simple prayer, which we, unless we put brackets on, typically avoid. Maybe we're scared to pray this prayer. Maybe we're not sure how it's going to play out, so we skip over it. But Eli tells Samuel, and Samuel prays a radical prayer. Verse 10, then the Lord came and called as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, speak. Your servant is listening. Now, don't miss this. Eli recognized the voice of the Lord and instructed Samuel on what to do with it. But then, man, we could get all up in our feels. All right, Samuel's ready. He prayed the prayer. God's about to respond. It's about to go some good things. I'm so excited. What if he says, you're about to win the lottery, Samuel? But what if he says, all your crops are going to flourish this year? All these good things, man. We kind of get hyped up. Okay, we're pumped up about this. Let's read verse 11. What's he going to say? Then the Lord said to Samuel, I'm about to do something shocking. I'm about to do a shocking thing in Israel. Okay, now you got my attention, Lord. What is it? I'm going to carry out all the threats I have against Eli and his family from beginning to end. Don't miss this. Eli could hear the voice of the Lord, but clearly he wasn't being obedient to it. Man, the hypocrisy level here is thick. I could hear the voice of the Lord. I knew what God was saying, but I ain't about to do it. So God says, I've been warning you. I've been speaking to you. I've been trying to get your attention. So now I'm going to talk to this little boy, and he's going to tell you the truth. And he reveals, I'm about to shock you. But all the things that I've been threatening, all the things that I've been warning, all the things that I've been trying to get your attention from, they're going to cost you. This is a radical prayer. This is a risky prayer. This does not sound fun for anyone. Let's just pause and confront reality right here. Our God is the God of, not a God, the God of comfort. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. Our God heals and delivers. He restores. He sustains. He redeems. Our God is love. Our God is loving. Our God is the greatest ever present, all here, all present time of need person that we could ever ask for. But there's not one instance recorded in Scripture where God gave someone an assignment and the mission was easy to fulfill. It's always a challenge. It's never easy. It's never just X, Y, and Z, and it's done. There are always obstacles in the way. And I believe that's why people don't pray this prayer. God, speak to me. No. Let me put some conditions on it. You know, think about it. We've been conditioned our whole life in this particular part of the globe. We've been conditioned to choose what is more comfortable. Take the path of least resistance. Do the easy thing first. When you read through Scripture and the assignments that God gives, it comes off more of build an altar and prepare to sacrifice your son on the altar. Go and build a boat in the middle of the desert to protect your family and some of your pets because I'm going to flood the entire planet. When your nation gets overthrown and all of your friends and all of your family get either taken captive or tortured or killed, make sure you don't bow down in front of the king. When the largest gladiator on the planet starts cursing you and starts cursing your God, make sure you pick up your sling and your rocks and you go chase him down. Okay, Pastor, I get where you're going. But that's all Old Testament. You're right. Let's look at the New Testament. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Die to self daily and follow me. Jesus says, hey, when the world hates you, rest in good company because they hated me first. Scripture teaches when you take steps to put your faith into action, because you put your faith into action and only because you put your faith in action, the world will persecute you for it. All of the first disciples we read about in the New Testament, they face scenarios like deny your faith or be thrown into prison, deny your faith and be crucified, deny your faith or be beheaded, deny your faith or be boiled alive. Choose the comfortable route, everybody. Take the easy path. That's not what God says. There's no sugarcoating here. When God speaks, it's going to stretch you. When God speaks, it will challenge you because when God speaks, he's trying to teach you. When God speaks, he's trying to grow you. When God speaks, he's trying to strengthen you. And when God speaks and we respond, it will fulfill part of the purpose of why we were placed on the planet in the first place. Make no mistake, it's not always easy to hear, but listening to what God speaks to you is the most transformational thing that we can do. It's the most purpose-fulfilling thing that we can accomplish. It's the most faith-building thing that we can take a leap of faith through. Praying radical prayers are incredibly difficult and yet so, so powerful. This radical prayer, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I mean, I get it. It makes so much sense. I get that it's so easy for us to think that we can fall into this rut of, okay, I like to pray when I get to talk to God. That's the easy part of prayer, right? Like speaking to God, but listening to God, that's a little more difficult. Like that seems a little harder to understand, Pastor. Like, am I waiting for an audible voice to come down from the clouds? Like, I mean, each of us can come up with our own reasons why this is more difficult. Speaking to God, easy to do. Listening to God, I mean, it's easy for me to speak to God because I know what I want to say to him, and I don't always know what I want to hear from him. I'm not sure I would recognize his voice. I'm maybe not sure I'm ready to do what he tells me to do. It's easier to speak to God than to listen to God, but God doesn't call us to the easy. Not one time does God say, take the easier road. Listen, prayer was never intended to be monologues with me. Prayer is intended to be a dialogue with the divine, where we are talking and then listening, talking and listening, talking and listening. Those of you that are married, those of you in a dating relationship, how healthy would your relationship be if only one of you was monologuing for the entirety of the relationship? Some of y'all sitting there like, I'm married to him right now. I don't know. Just kidding. That's not where we're going. That's not it today. Listen, healthy relationships require dialogue, not monologue, where there's a transition of you speak, I speak. You speak, I listen. And I listen and then I speak. And while there isn't a formula, which I wish I could give you of do X, Y, and Z, and you will unmistakably, undoubtedly hear from the Lord, what I want to challenge you with today are three questions to ponder to prepare you to know, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. If you're taking notes, the first one's pretty simple. Am I listening? That seems redundant. It seems like something we shouldn't have to ask, but if you're married, you know this situation. I can't tell you the number of times, and it happens way too often, where Katie will come up to me and she'll start talking, and within a minute or two of her talking, she'll recognize by my half-hearted responses, you ain't listening. So she'll just, I mean, we're 25 years of marriage. She'll just ask, are you even listening to me? Boy, that's an embarrassing question right there. And are you even listening to me? Oh, I was talking to this guy the other day. Most of the time, like, I try real hard, like, blessed are the peacemakers. So I try to, like, calm people down when they get all wound up on something. This dude was wound up about, like, conspiracy theories and stuff. And he was talking about how the government's always listening and social media's always listening. And I started to go a different direction and kind of calm that storm a little bit. But I was like, no, let's have some fun. So I doubled down. Jumped right into the conversation. And I was like, hey, you know how, like, when you talk to your phone, like, you give that one certain command, like you say Siri with an Apple or whatever you say for Androids, like, and it just perks up and starts listening. I said, do you know how it knows to respond when you say Siri? He's like, how? I was like, because it's always listening. Freaked him out. It was great. We enjoyed it. It was a fun, at least I enjoyed it. Listen, if your auditory system is working, your ears are always listening. But what happens is your brain has this ability, even subconsciously when you're asleep, to choose whether or not it wants to listen to what it hears. That's why when you're asleep, some sounds will wake you up and some sounds won't wake you up. For example, like you may know this, but you may not. Your brains don't, or your ears don't have an off switch. They are listening all the time, but your brain sorts out what to hear and what not. For example, your eyes do the same thing. Your eyes are always in visibility of seeing your nose. Some of y'all looking real cross-eyed right now to try to prove the point. But your brain knows, since the nose doesn't move, it's always there. There's no need to pay attention. Let's just ignore it and look at what else is going on in the world. Your ears are always listening. But just because we can hear doesn't mean we really pay attention to what is said. I mean, when Katie comes up, I'm always able to hear her, but maybe the TV was on. Maybe I was working on a project. Maybe the kids were hollering about something in the background. Maybe I'm scrolling doomlessly on my phone. But the essentials of hearing from God are really simple to conceive, but they're incredibly difficult to sustain. That even though I can hear from God, I'm probably not always listening. Let me give you some advice from the scriptures. Powerful transformation in your prayer life. Psalm chapter 46 and verse 10. So be still and know that I am God. I've always wondered if the reason that God kept talking to Samuel while he was in bed was because that was the only time he would be still for the Lord to capture his attention. And before I go throwing shade at Samuel, I'm always reminding myself of when was the last time that you were still so that the Lord could speak to you? I mean, how often do I shut everything off? How often do I clear out my schedule? How often do I silence all the other sounds? How often do I cancel all my busyness and get in the presence and the stillness of the Lord? And for some of us, maybe you've been doing this for a while and you've learned a discipline of being still and coming into the presence of the Lord. For some of you, you might be like, hey, Pastor, that sounds kind of crazy. It sounds kind of creepy. Let me just give you some radical, practical advice. Every day you have 1,440 minutes. So what if you cleared 5 consecutive minutes out to just get still in front of the Lord? 5 minutes of still time just to listen to the Lord. It's a simple prayer. Lord, speak, your servant is listening. And then to get silent before the Lord. Not small talk with God. Not, God, let me prime you up for what I want you to say. Not playing some music in the background because it makes me feel more holy. I'm talking about rigid silence and stillness. This is how I start mine off. You're going to think I'm crazy until you try it. I start off my still time by rubbing my fingertip to my thumb. And when I can hear the ridges, that's still. And then I'll sit and wait. Now, if you're new to this, 5 minutes will seem like an eternity. So I would even encourage you, start a timer on your phone. Otherwise, every 11 seconds, you're gonna be like, is it 5 minutes? Is it 5 minutes? Is it 5 minutes? It's gonna feel uncomfortable. It's gonna feel weird. For a busy, productive person, you're gonna feel like you're wasting your life away. Can I just encourage you, set the appointment 5 minutes every day with the Lord, be still in the presence of the Lord, and it'll be the most important appointment of your day. Soon you will find out that God speaks to you through so many other things other than just a voice from the clouds. If what the Bible says is true, and that God is all-knowing, God is all-present, God is all-powerful, God is love, then it certainly seems reasonable to conclude that God wants to be in continual communication with you. So the question we must address is, am I even listening? I'd encourage you to set it in your calendar. Set the appointment, set a notification, set a reminder. Block out 5 minutes of stillness with the Lord. And don't imagine for a moment that the devil's gonna be like, oh, you want 5 minutes with God? Let me just clear your afternoon. No, you will face resistance. You will face busyness. You will face chaos. Can I encourage you? Guard that time. And then you can begin to grow that time. Set a time with the Lord. By telling you, God, I'm going to spend time with you in stillness today. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Number two, who is God to me? If you're a logistical thinker like me, you're thinking like, that's not the right question, Pastor. You should be asking like, where do I go to hear from the Lord? Like Eli was in the room, so Samuel went to there. He went to a place. Like, where do I go? Or maybe where is God to me? Where do I find him? Or maybe how does God sound? Like, how do I recognize? Maybe that's the prayer I should be asking. Can I just offer this? Who is God to you sets the parameters of how you will hear from him. I've heard some people say this for years. No, I don't think it's a terrible saying. I just don't think it's accurate. The two most important days of your life, the day you were born and the day you discover why. Those are great. But can I just offer maybe the most important thing about you is what you believe about God. Who God is to you. Because who God is to you determines how you interact with the God of the universe. If God for you is just the cosmic law enforcement, you're going to try to hide every area of your life that you're worried about being incriminating in evidence against him. If God is just the man upstairs, you will only treat God as an acquaintance, never have a deep relationship with him. If God is just the judge for you, then I really don't want to hear from God because I know what he's going to say, so I need to spend some time convincing him that I'm not as bad as my neighbor or as bad as I used to be, so he'll have more grace for me. If God is just the God of order and sequence, then we will try to position and posture our life to check all the boxes of our religious routines and make the God happy. If you think God is just the voice behind the drive-up window, then we're going to spend all of our time trying to get the combination right so that God will give us everything that our heart desires. If you think God is just about grace and grace, and he's a God of grace and grace and grace and grace, I'm good to share all my issues with the Lord without honor, without reverence, and without repentance. And we miss out on what God is speaking. And if you think God is just easily mad with you, he's an angry father with you, you're going to spend all of your time just apologizing and raising your hand to get saved every time you get a chance because I've let God down again. But what if you saw God, the God who created the universe, who also knows every hair on your head, knows every code in your DNA, knows every ripple in your fingerprint as your loving, caring, grace-filled, righteous Heavenly Father. When you know God as Dad, that changes the way you approach him and it changes the way you hear from him. Because when you can go with reverence and honor and say, Dad, I need help. I don't know what to do in this situation. I could really use some advice. I don't really understand this. Can you help me understand what to do? Something terrible happened and I need your help. What can you tell me? What wisdom can you have for me or give to me? What do you think I should do here? When I approach my loving Heavenly Father like that, it changes everything about the dynamic of our relationship because of how I know him, because of who he is to me. And if God is just your universal vending machine, you will treat him as though he is your genie in a bottle. God, give me the things that I want. Church, we have to get to a place where the person of God is significantly more important than the petitions we give to God. If you want to write that down, I'll shorten it up for you. The person is greater than the petitions. He's not just the guy and the voice on the other side of the drive-up window. He is our Heavenly Father who cares deeply about you as an individual. I mean, think about it, good or bad, your earthly father speaks to you and has spoken to you in ways that no other human has. Good or bad, your earthly father maybe has said things to you that were the most encouraging things you've ever heard, or maybe the most defeating words you've ever heard. Your earthly father can do that. Imagine what your heavenly father wants to speak to you. Your heavenly father will speak to you in ways that no one else can. Everything that he does is good for you. It's out of love for you. It's what's best for you in this situation and in every situation to come. Scripture says you, as a follower of Christ, have been fully adopted into the family of God. You are heirs to his kingdom. God thinks of you as his own. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 says, see how much the Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that's what we are. Who is God to you? So then later when Jesus would teach on this very concept in Matthew chapter 7, when you get down to verse 7, this section of my Bible is titled Effective Prayer. Listen to how Jesus teaches. Verse 7, he says, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Then he continues. It sounds like he's going a different direction, but verse 9 is part of the same sentence. He says, you parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? As a dad, I want to do everything I can for my kids. I mean, I have limitations. I only have so much money. I'll have so much time. As a dad, I still want to do everything I can for our kids. But my greatest desire is not to be in my kids' life because of what I can do for them. My greatest desire is to be in my kids' life because of who I am to them. Be still and listen to the instruction, to the wisdom, to the love of your heavenly Father who desires to speak to you. And the third one, number 3, am I willing to serve? Remember Samuel's response? Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Now, if you were hoping for a practical way to pray this prayer, let me give you some practical steps. The Lord still speaks to his people. He still speaks to his kids today. The most frequent way that God will still speak today, the most consistent way that God will still speak today is through his written word. God has given instruction. He's explained history. He's preparing you for the future. There is no more consistent way to know you're in alignment with hearing from God than Scripture. All Scripture is God-breathed. It's inspired through the Holy Spirit to direct us, to correct us, to confirm us, and to convict us. God's Word guides us. It teaches us. It reveals to us. Get in the Word. God speaks to us through people. Not just last Sunday, but God often uses my wife to speak to me. And often when God speaks through my wife to me, it's the hardest things that I need to hear. And I'm tempted when I hear those hard things of whether or not it's Katie speaking those things or God speaking those things. My spirit wants to say, you know what? I needed to hear this. I need to change this. I need to be aware of this. But my flesh wants to argue and say, that's just my wife. And she just wants her way. And I have this internal battle of, is God speaking through her or do I want to argue with what she's trying to say to me? The reality is, if you got a loving spouse, follows Christ, chances are God's using him or her to speak through you. God speaks through parents. God speaks through pastors. God speaks through good friends. If you're listening, God might even be speaking to you through this sermon this morning. God speaks through circumstances. Oftentimes what you thought was a door that closed and you couldn't figure out why is maybe God's time to say pause and prepare for the better door that's to come. Oftentimes we get frustrated about the setbacks in life, but what if the setbacks in life are God's way of preparing us for the comebacks in life of what we overcome? God still speaks through his spirit. I promise you, if you can get 5 minutes a day where you can sit in stillness with the Lord, one of the ways you will hear the Lord speak is through a peace that surpasses all that you can understand. There is nothing more peaceful in a chaotic day than to take 5 minutes to be still in front of the Lord. And you may not hear a voice from the clouds, but you'll sense a peace that you can't describe. God restores, he uplifts, he inspires. Maybe it's a still small voice in your heart. Maybe it's a prompt to action. Maybe it's a nudge to get uncomfortable. Maybe it's a, I'm not sure why, but I feel like I need to reach out to this person. Maybe it's a pull up to the stoplight and this person normally I'm not paying any attention to, but today I feel compelled to talk. Maybe it's a asking a stranger a question. About 4 or 5 years ago, I felt this conviction that when God would put somebody's name or somebody's face on my mind, I would stop what I was doing and reach out to that person. I always had the good Christian intent, right? Like when I'm not so busy, then I'll pray for them. And God convicted me, you're dropping the ball, buddy. So I started texting, I started calling whenever God put somebody's name or somebody's face on my heart. Now, I wish I could be all like holier than thou and be like, so we 1,000 for 1,000. Like every time I do this, this happens. But I'll tell you, it's in the 90s% that every time I feel God putting someone on my heart, putting someone in my mind, I'll reach out to them and 99, 95, 92% of the time, Pastor, you have no idea what this means. You have no idea what I'm going through right now today. You have no idea how much I was hoping someone would be praying for me. Look, I don't know scenarios. I don't know circumstances. I rarely will pry and ask questions. I'll just say things like, hey, God put you on my heart. Can I pray for you today? God put you on my heart. I just want to let you know that I've been praying for you this morning. Church, can I just offer, that's not me saying, look at our pastor. He's so much holier than everybody else. Listen, access to the Holy Spirit doesn't make me better than you. Access to the Holy Spirit makes me better than me. And when you walk in tune with the Holy Spirit, when you can hear the still small voice of the Lord prompting you to do things, you will be blown away with what God does through you that you had no part of. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. A servant is willing to hear what's being said and be moved to action. A servant sets aside their agenda for the good of the cause. A servant is willing to listen to instruction, even if the instruction is difficult to do. A servant is willing to be corrected with the attitude of, I want to be better about this. I want to be better than I am. But what if the reason God seems to be silent to you right now is because you still haven't done the last thing that God assigned you to do? What if the reason that God seems silent to you right now is because you still haven't done the last thing that he asked you to do? Maybe God's holding out on telling you what's next because you haven't done with what he gave you to do last time. Some of us, we want God to give us this big platform, this big stage, and God's saying, I just want you to read your Bible every day. Some of us want this big spectacular, like wake up in the morning and God revealed his will for you in the clouds, and God's saying, I just want you to spend some daily time in prayer. Listen. But God, I want the big thing. And God's saying, hey, do the last thing. Do the little thing. Maybe God's trying to tell you something. You're just not being patient enough to do what you already asked. Parents, how many of us pulled this move before? Hey, Dad, can I go hang out with some friends tomorrow night? Well, it depends. Did you clean your room like I asked you 2-3 days ago? What's the difference, right? If I ask you to do the last thing, why am I going to give you the next thing when you haven't done the last thing? But why am I going to give you this when you haven't done that? It all depends on what we've done in response to what God has already said. God, tell me where my heart has become hardened, and then what am I going to do with that? God, tell me where I need to forgive somebody and help me take the steps to start to forgive them. God, tell me where I'm living selfishly and let me take some steps to live generously. Reveal to me where I'm not using the gifts that you have given me for your kingdom, and am I willing to respond with what he says? It's a long one. I'm going to put up on the screen. I'm going to pause so you can write it down if you want. It's hard to hear what God is trying to say when I've already made up my mind on what I want to hear. When I'm the one in the monologue, when I'm the one doing all the talking, I've already made up my mind, God, I want you just to agree with me. And oftentimes, I'm in the wrong asking God to join the party. And God's saying, listen, I need you to listen and respond. Okay? It's a radical prayer. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. It's a risky prayer. And I was thinking about this week, the only thing more risky than praying, speak, Lord, your servant is listening, is to not pray it. I mean, what are you going to miss out on? If we're not willing to say, God, full access, speak what you need me to hear, we're going to miss out on some of the most fulfilling parts of the purpose we were planted on the planet for. We're going to miss out on realizing why God has done so much of walking with us to get us to this point. We're going to miss out on some of the greatest accomplishments we could ever achieve. Be still before the Lord. Be still and recognize he's my heavenly Father. Be still and listen, believing that our loving and caring and endearing and good heavenly Father wants what's best for us, and be willing to serve when he responds with action, with change, with transformation. God, may this be our prayer. When we wake up, when we lay down, when we go to work, when we go to school, when we have free time, when we calendar the appointment, may it be simple, may it be transformational. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. In Jesus' name, amen.